Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land. Welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, IMVDB.com. My name is Adam. I type things into the IMVDB Music Video Database just because it's the thing that that we do now. And then with me, as usual, is Doug Bathroom Break Klinger from Pompano Beach, Florida. Doug, how you doing?
Dude, it's super good. That could possibly be the worst nickname anyone's ever gotten. That's the last thing anyone wants to be called.
I'm just throwing it out there and see if it sticks. And another one I'm going to throw out there is another person who's joining us on the podcast, North of the Wall, Mr. Adam Mad Dog Alexander. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling a little bit wild tonight.
That's good. I think the Mad Dog thing is actually going to stick. I've got it circled.
It's going to stick.
I've got it circled in red here. This isn't just a throwaway. I'm going to go with it. And on the podcast this week, we have an awesome guest, somebody whose videos we've talked about a lot on the podcast if you've been listening, director and animator and, well, visual effects artist, all of the above, Mr. Jeff Hoskinson. Jeff, how you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And for people who need a reference, we'll have all the links and stuff like that, everything we talk about in the show notes. Go to imvdb.com/podcast and it's all there. So the last video we probably talked about that was directed and animated by you was Build a Pyre, Begin Again, and by Sonlux.
Yeah.
And then also the fantastic video, which we really love, the Philosophize in It, Chemicalize with It video by Kishibashi. State of Mind by Sebado. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
You got it right.
Oh, I did get it right? Okay, good.
I think so.
Boom.
And then just a few yesterday or 2 days ago on June 17th, Crush by Tahiti 80 came out. So this is timely guest slot.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff.
Well, just in like the last year too, because we're recording this June 2014. So all these are within like the last like 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, doing four videos in 6 months that all seem like really labor intensive, all VFX heavy. What initially got you into that?
Well, I started doing music videos for a lot of like friends and bands that I, you know, personally knew, and I did this one for this kind of split between two bands called Roswell Kid and Sleeping Bag, and that video was called Chinchilla, and it was kind of like a really animation heavy live action kind of combination music video, and so I did that, and so the owner of the record label, Carl, for Joyful Noise, he saw it because Sleeping Bag is on that label, and he saw it and he was like, hey, you want to do any music videos for one of our bands? And I was like, yeah. And so that's just kind of how it got started. And the first one was Sebado. And I just kind of started and, you know, got it, all these great opportunities and just started working like crazy. And that's kind of it. And I've just kind of been like nonstop ever since.
And was that first video that was that also in 2014?
The Chinchilla?
Yeah.
That was actually... 2013.
And so all this, I mean, all the visual work, and I know there's some live action, you know, in there, that's all done by you.
Oh yeah, everything, like I film all the stuff, I animate all the stuff, I design it, concept it. It's pretty amazing to like have been fortunate enough to like almost been given like total creative freedom by all these bands. It's just pretty incredible. I'm pretty much like, I just kind of do it all myself. It's very personal. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, I really like collaborating with, you know, any of the people that I film, or, you know, I let them kind of like do their thing and just kind of try to get like a natural performance. But yeah, a lot of it is just kind of my personal kind of illustrative like touch on most of the stuff.
And so, are all of the jobs kind of coming through directly as well? You don't have like a representation right now?
No, I don't have any representation. I'm just solo. I have close contact with the label representatives. And then, like, if bands like my stuff, they usually contact me directly. That's like how it happened with Tahiti 80. You know, it was a very one-on-one kind of personal thing. It's been pretty amazing because I haven't really had to really do storyboards or really try to kind of prove myself or sell my idea that hard. I mean, I've been really fortunate in that respect. They just kind of trust me. I mean, so it's been awesome to have the kind of creative opportunities that I've had.
And a lot of these videos are pretty complex and obviously they have a lot of layers and a lot of stuff going on. Is this stuff, do you kind of see these videos in your head going into these projects? Do you kind of have a good idea what they're going to look like, and it's just you don't really need to convey it to anyone, or is it you kind of surprising yourself during the edit as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always kind of a surprise at the end, but like as far as conceptually, you know, when I approach these projects, like I'll hear the song and just kind of really listen to it, and I don't really come with any preconceived like concepts or ideas. I usually just let the sounds drive everything, and you know, a lot of times I'll just kind of get like flashes of stuff in my head, like imagery, as I'm hearing the song, and then I kind of really start to think about a concept and what could really work harmoniously with the song and the sounds. And then that's just kind of like how I arrive at a concept. It's all inspired by the sounds. I don't really come with any kind of stories that I've written on the side, and just you kind of use the music as an opportunity to kind of like, you know, let some kind of, you know, preconceived story play out. It's always derived from the sounds.
And for the, I know we have listeners who are into individual effects. What are you in terms of equipment and software? What are you working with?
My main application is After Effects. For like 3D work, I use Blender. And then, you know, for any, like a lot of the stuff, I use Photoshop. I mean, I'll design a lot of the pieces and create a lot of the pieces in Photoshop. But the main like video editing tool is definitely After Effects.
And I wanted to ask about a few videos. One of them was the Philosophize and It Chemicalize With It by Kishi Bashi video, which is so colorful and has this kind of, I don't know how to describe it. All these different circles coming together to create images is one of the central visual themes in the video. And I was wondering where that concept came to you. Was that something that came from listening to the music?
Yeah, I mean, the idea was kind of that, but primarily it was just the way the music sounded. Like, it was so dynamic. I was really blown away by that song. And, you know, it goes from really small and contained to huge and explosive, and then really kind of dirgy and small and contained again, and then back to like just huge and vast. And so I was really thinking about like a concept that could work well with that, with those dynamics. And I thought about, you know, like particles, you know, individually having kind of a life of their own, but also making up a bigger structure. And so I wanted to initially kind of, in the smaller parts of the song, focus in on maybe like these little tiny particles and maybe a narrative or something there. And on the bigger parts of the song, kind of pull out to, bigger structures that are comprised of all these little individual particles. That was kind of like the main concept for it. And that's just kind of how it started.
And I wonder if you could kind of take us through a little bit more. You mentioned what software you're using for a lot of this stuff, but what is the process? Do you ever kind of create a more simple version of what we see kind of by hand or a pre-visualization?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's just like rounds of it. I mean, I'll like just start working with stuff and like playing around with stuff and color and It took me a while to get it to that video to a place where I was happy with it. There was like rounds of stuff. Like I created all these like characters for it that kind of didn't make it into the thing. And so I did a lot of exploration for that. And it was like kind of nervous because like the deadline was approaching and I really was not like happy with where it was going. So, but yeah, I mean, I do like a lot of rounds of stuff usually until I get to a place where I'm kind of happy with it. But I don't. I usually do that like within After Effects mainly because a lot of it's like, you know, dependent upon the animation and the motion. So it's kind of like not only the motion but it's also the visual.
And where did you find an Asian family?
Well, that's his family. You know, he wanted to be in the video. He wasn't gonna be. It was just gonna be all animation. But he, that was one of the things that he felt strongly about being in it. And then he was like, "Whoa, what can I do?" And I don't really typically like lip syncing. So I just said, you know, I don't know. Like, put your family in it and just do some stuff. And you know, and he just sent me like a bunch of footage on green screen and I just used some stuff from it. I don't know. I just thought it kind of gave it a really cool quality, like a kind of authentic quality to it. It just really kept it lighthearted and fun, which is a large part of like how his music sounds to me.
Now I feel embarrassed that I knew that was Kishibashi. I didn't know it was his family.
Yeah, that's his wife and his daughter.
Oh wow, okay. I didn't even know he was married. Okay, there we go. I'm learning things about Kishibashi. Not that I knew a huge depth of knowledge before, but I was like, it's Kishibashi with some people hired to be his to look like his family.
And you're out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And is there from your perspective much of a music video community in Pittsburgh or a more general filmmaking community that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean there's Pittsburgh filmmakers. There is a community here. There are people doing stuff. This place has become it's changed a lot in the past 10 years. I mean there's a lot of like Hollywood films being shot here. There's a lot of stuff being done here. I mean, it's not as, you know, nowhere near like LA or New York or anything like that. But it's cool. It's kind of like a small community.
You guys took away the city of Gotham from Chicago to be as the stand-in for Gotham in The Dark Knight Rises. I live in Chicago when they're shooting The Dark Knight. So I'll always have a little bit of a spite in my heart for that, but that's okay. I can get over it. I don't really mind.
You hate Pittsburgh. That's so weird.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Add that to the list of things you hate: Terry Richardson and Pittsburgh. Spike Lee.
We should talk a little bit about the video that came. Yeah, Spike Lee. We can fill a whole podcast with that. We should talk about the video that came out just a few days ago, which is The Crush by Tahiti 80, and this one is a combination of, you know, visual effects and animation and live action. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about where this concept came from.
They contacted me about doing a video for the song, and they were kind of specific about what they wanted without being too specific. I mean, they wanted something that was a combination of animation and live action. And they wanted something that kind of had a narrative to it, but they left it pretty open. And so the video or the song is kind of about a relationship separation. And you know, rather than kind of be like straight with it, I just envisioned this kind of, you know, psychedelic kind of fantastical scenario world setting where that involves like a female character where it's kind of ambiguous, but she's maybe kind of like the classic, you know, damsel or like, you know, female character that appears to be kind of benevolent and good-hearted, but kind of based upon her like choices or whatever, kind of, you know, ends a relationship or foils a situation, basically. So, you know, that's kind of like a simplistic way of putting it, but like, there's a lot of kind of things going on in the video, like a lot of visuals that could reference lots of different things. I wanted it to kind of look archaic. Like, I didn't want it to be like a retelling of any kind of Greek mythology or anything like that, but I wanted it to kind of maybe feel like that. Maybe it could feel like a, you know, like a dream or a memory of something. Maybe a dream of a story that had been read, but it wasn't quite that story. I wanted it to kind of, you know, play off of themes of like, you know, maybe Eros and Psyche and original sin and stuff like that. So it has a lot of kind of like visuals that are derived from those ideas and those stories and those concepts, but are not, it's not really directly kind of retelling those stories at all. So I think there's a lot of kind of different themes that are kind of going on. I don't think there's any direct one kind of thing. I mean, there's no direct real narrative to it, but it's kind of just supposed to be open-ended and kind of thought-provoking.
Color seems to be really important to your music videos. Is color something that you sort of think of first going into to one of these videos? Is that one of the first things that you decide on?
Yeah, I mean, color, I think, is one of the things that I really see in my head, like, initially. Like, when I first heard the song, I don't know why, but I just kind of saw gold, like, almost instantaneously. And like, when I first heard the song, like, when I first heard that intro, like, I immediately just kind of pictured a woman, like, kind of laying on her side and the camera panning and it being in gold, like, with this really warm kind of sepia tone. I don't know why. I mean, there's no real reason for it, but I kind of used that visual to drive the thing. And but yeah, color seems to come pretty quickly. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, throughout the process, like, I'll pull a lot of imagery to be inspired by. So I pull all kind of stuff, and definitely I gravitate towards, you know, kind of the original color that I may have saw in my head. Color really kind of sets a tone, and, you know, maybe going back to the concept, like, I mean, I don't want anyone, you know, to get too ridiculous with it, but, like, you know, the kind of golden age of humanity and, like, the whole idea of that, and, you know, the fall of man, and maybe, you know, like, we've fallen out of our perfect society, and what is achievable as a perfect society. And I don't know, I mean, maybe there's some of that to it, but just kind of gold as being, like, you know, the ultimate, like, archetype of you know, human essence or whatever, and kind of a fall from that. But yeah, I mean, I think color is pretty important to kind of set the tone.
Do you envision yourself as you progress your career to continue to be so hands-on with every project and to, you know, play as many roles in the process as you currently do?
Yeah, I mean, I really like having the personal touch. I mean, there's so many ways that I could get better and learn more stuff and know more stuff technically and, you know, with better equipment and better practices and stuff like that. But I mean, these songs, I really like kind of how personal it is. I mean, you know, these artists write these songs and they're personal and they're, you know, they have a kind of, you know, it's coming from one voice. So I really like the idea of the video kind of coming from that same place, like one voice and one kind of set of hands, kind of crafting it. So it's as much as a personal thing for me as it is for them. I always try to put things that I'm interested in, inspired by, and you know, seeking to find answers for, like, in these videos. But it's always something that works in tandem with the music. And I think that's where it really gets interesting, is where you can kind of come up with something that complements a song and works and is inspired by the song, but is also kind of its own thing and lives on its own.
Sweet. Yeah. EPs, all the EPs that listen. Sign Jeff. That'd be cool. And because yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive. That all you know, basically 100% you on these projects. That's you know, it's impressive.
And I was not aware before you mentioned it, Jeff, that Kishibashi is from Athens, Georgia. I guess I just never. I'm learning so much about Kishibashi. I love his music now, because we're in. It's just a little plug for Sprockets Music Video Festival. We'll be in Athens, Georgia, in July, for Sprockets. So
Kishibashi, if you're listening, come see us.
So Kishibashi, I think on his schedule he says he's going to be in Dublin, Ireland at that time.
Oh,
so I
don't know if
he's
going
to be able to make it. But.
Adam's been busy over there. I also realized that this Chinchilla video, which was not on this website that we own at the beginning of this podcast, is now miraculously here. Very good work, Adam. Careful on that.
No, that wasn't me. That must have been Adam Alexander.
It was this Adam, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice, awesome. Dude.
Yeah, it's a cool video. I was glad that I got to see that one while we podcasted live.
That's fun. Worth his weight in podcast gold.
I see this one has candy and bananas, which pink and yellow. So I'm excited to see this one.
So a lot of things that Adam loves.
Yeah, it's totally absurd.
Nice. Good. Well, you know, speaking, we have a few absurd things to
get into from this week. Some other music videos outside of. Outside of Jeff's,
We could talk about those music videos, yeah, but I think we just need to mention a few quick kind of topical things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Please.
Because we're a podcast, if people haven't listened to the podcast, we talk about stuff. We talk about what's music videos in the news, and we try to. A lot of music videos in the news kind of stuff is insanely boring, so we try to stay away from it. But this time, this week, I don't know if Doug, Adam, or Jeff, you guys have been following the YouTube. Issue with the scare over taking down independent music videos, because is the record label you're working with, are they independent, Jeff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just a very brief explanation here, because it's been an insanely complicated subject. I think the story broke on Tuesday, and it's just sort of been going through all these iterations of different articles, and they get clearer and clearer, and now we're at Thursday, and we're just all, you know, we're that much clearer. We have an article that we will link to that we've kind of gone through and tried to make sense of everything. But the short and long of it is that YouTube is creating a music streaming service similar to Spotify or RDO or Deezer, which has been mentioned a lot that didn't even know existed, but there you go. Of course, YouTube is an organization that already has, and Google, who owns YouTube, has a lot of existing relationships with labels because a lot of their music videos are on there. And not just music videos, but live performances, all sorts of licensed stuff. YouTube has all sorts of entanglements with copyright.
And lots of revenue sharing.
And lots of revenue sharing, not just through Vivo, but through all sorts of music videos.
Yeah, just regular pre-roll ads. Anybody can upload a video and put an ad on top of it if you own all of the stuff in it.
So YouTube is currently doing deals with all these record labels, and they apparently have, I've heard, anywhere between 90 to 95% of labels on board for this deal. But the other 5% are not happy with the terms. What I've heard is that they're apparently getting the same terms, but they're not going to be, they're not guaranteed as much. They're for the larger labels, they're guaranteeing amounts. But some of these smaller labels include like Domino XL Recordings, which has Jack White. Adele and Arctic Monkeys and a bunch of other recording artists. So there's been a lot of speculation, and YouTube has been confirmed that they will start removing content in what they call very soon videos from YouTube from artists who are not part of this deal. That are from recording labels that are not going to be playing, you know, ball with this new music pass service that they're going to be launching later this fall. So
that's insane.
Right, so there's a few things to note here. I think one of the most important ones is that Vivo music videos are not going to be affected. They have a separate deal with YouTube, and so all the big ones, you know, a lot of the biggest music videos that we see on the site in terms of view counts, save for the size of the world, are Vivo music videos, and those are covered under a separate agreement.
But in either way, it sounds like even if they weren't, those labels are playing ball.
Right.
But it's the Domino Recordings who don't have Vivo accounts as it is, and they just have their own, you know, and I don't know who is and who isn't, but you know, Rhymesayers.
Adele has Vivo music videos. Arctic Monkeys is all on Vivo. What they're saying is that
I think the big picture is that it's going to be a very small number of videos that we're going to see removed. Right. Basically.
Well, there are still a lot of videos who aren't on Vivo. You know, one of the videos we're going to be talking about this week, despite it being a very big video, the OK Go Writing's on the Wall video, that's not a Vivo music video. So, you know.
Right, but that might be part of the 95% of the labels that have agreed to the terms.
Right, definitely. So, but despite that, even if it's three music videos, which I'm sure it's going to be more than that, that's pretty insane that YouTube's just like, hey, anyone else can upload a music video to our website, upload their content to our website and make money for it, except you guys. And it's like a couple of record labels. That's just, I don't know. To me, that's pretty insane.
It's bossy. They're being bossy.
And so I think the one of the main issues here is that nobody really knows what this service is going to actually look like. And the most sort of reliable reporting that I've heard on this is that the service is going to be on top of what they're calling YouTube's free service, ad-supported service, if you will. So you go to if you're a free user and you go and watch an Adele video or one of your favorite artists' videos, you're not going to see ads if you're if you're a free user, you're going to see ads and you're not going to have any of this extra content. But if you are a paid user, then you're going to be able to maybe stream that song or do a bunch of other things. What's not really clear that I haven't found an explanation for is where music videos fit in that package. Are they just going to be ad free for people who pay for this premium service, or are there going to be some videos that are behind a paywall? And if you read like five articles on this, you'll get five different, completely different takes on this, which is frustrating. But the bottom line is we just don't know what the service is going to look like. But I think the main issue here is that YouTube is the largest host of music videos by far, from everybody down to somebody who's not even signed to a label, just putting something out there on their own, to somebody who's Psy on a major label who has 2 billion views, and they're making moves that are going to have an effect on, maybe multiple levels of that.
And that's a big deal.
That's why Vimeo is awesome.
that's a good point. Yeah. And that is a point that a lot of people are making, that if labels are forced from YouTube, and they can't have their music videos there, regardless of how many labels there are, they're going to be looking for an alternative place, and that could definitely be Vimeo for sure. Now, although Vimeo got into their own music video issues not too long ago with directors and production companies uploading their versions and the labels asking them to or putting a cease and desist letter in and making them Vimeo remove them. However, if it was the labels moving over to Vimeo, that wouldn't happen. And there are some labels with a Vimeo presence. A lot of times it's a smaller label, Sub Pop or something like that. But they do have a Vimeo presence.
Yeah,
Jeff, are you? I know we have all your Vimeo embeds on the site. Are you uploading those yourself?
Yeah, that's my account. Yep.
And do you get special permission from the label, or is it like an informal agreement?
It's pretty much it's cool with them. It's cool with Joyful Noise. I mean, they've been cool about it. So I haven't had any issue. They've been cool about it.
That's good.
And there was one more piece of music video, well, kind of news. There was a music video leak, which isn't something that happens very frequently, but there was a shelved Lady Gaga video featuring R. Kelly, directed by Uncle Terry Richardson, and that video was leaked by TMZ. this week, or a 30-second clip of this video was leaked by TMZ this week, which features our Lady Gaga on some kind of operating table under a sheet, and R. Kelly reaching under this sheet and Lady Gaga moaning. The video didn't play beyond that for me, but I think I saw enough. So that leaked this week, and lots of people had things to say about it. What do you guys have to say about it?
Well, there. We should just mention that I posted this on Facebook, and there was a guy who was he's a first AC on the site, and he said, I'm just pulling it up now. He said he was on the set for 2 days. This was a 2-day shoot. This wasn't something they just stopped midway. Although the foot, I don't have a keen eye enough to tell, but I believe the footage is unfinished. That's in there. Or maybe they finished the whole thing. But anyway, he said it was an interesting 2 days. That's how we put it. And I asked him if Lady Gaga like seemed uncomfortable with the way the video was going, and he said he couldn't comment on that. So
he said he couldn't really tell. He wouldn't be able to know. But it's interesting that like basically all of the coverage of this is just got. It just got Terry Richardson and R. Kelly completely under the bus. It's just like, yeah, Lady Gaga didn't want to put it out because of Terry Richardson's sexual misconduct accusations and R. Kelly's former sexual misconduct accusations. And but the interesting thing is both of those things were present prior to the making of this video. Unless this video was made like 10 years ago, those accusations were definitely well known. So I don't know. I think it's just kind of a cop out to say those are the reasons.
It probably is because it looks like a really terrible video. It just looks like it just like something that's gonna end up on like the Reddit, like our cringe subreddit. It just looks. I don't know. There's no way that I would be like, well, this looks awful, but I bet the full version is it looks good.
Yeah, right. It really makes sense.
Ended up on TMZ, so perfect. A perfect home right. for it.
It doesn't look like... Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I mean, I was just gonna say, like, you know, from what I saw from that small clip, like, you know, just how like naked Lady Gaga appears to be, and like in the small clip that I saw, I mean, it seems like kind of like you know, amongst these huge pop stars, like that's kind of a thing, is like showing more. You know, it's like there's so much content on the internet that you're exposed to, and it's like they're just like vying for people's attention, and it's like especially with that Miley Cyrus video where she's like naked on a wrecking ball, and you know, it's like
Terry Richardson.
Yeah, it's funny because it's a 30-second clip, but at the they saved the best. I'm sorry you didn't see this, Doug, because this is the best part. They saved the very last where she is like straight up humping a pile of newspapers. it's like a half second little bit they left in at the end, which is just hilarious.
Well, it's interesting. This doesn't feel, at least from what I saw, it doesn't feel very much like a Terry Richardson video. I mean, the fact that it's you know,
has Terry Richardson photographing her in the video.
I heard about that. But what I mean is, like, Terry Richardson videos are usually pretty stripped down, and like, you know, like Wrecking Ball, although it's got a wrecking ball in it, it's in like a completely white room, and be like, other than that, you know, it doesn't usually, I don't think of Terry Richardson videos as taking place on like a spaceship, which is where it appears this video is taking place.
I just rewatched this again, and Doug, you have to find a computer to watch the full version, because the concept of this video is that you guys all watch the full 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
The concept of the video is that R. Kelly, like,
she's drugged.
Yeah, she's drugged, and her body is lifeless, and then they bring in that they have like a party. So there's this really quick shot in this 30-second montage that is her, like, people like propping up her lifeless body and doing
what they want to.
Yeah, doing what they want is like weird. Playing with toy lobsters around it. It's just like nothing. It's just I seriously think, I know the Terry Richardson and the R. Kelly thing, factored into this a little bit, but I really think that if it was a decent video, they would have put it out. I just think it just looks like a terrible video.
Well, so it's interesting because we have another Terry Richardson Lady Gaga video on the site right now, as in production. There's a 15-second preview video that is from, I'm just looking at where it's from, on the Lady Gaga, from the Lady Gaga YouTube account, for a song called Cake. And in the video, it says like Lady Gaga XX Terry Richardson, and it's also a what appears to be a sexually explicit video that feels a little bit more like a Terry Richardson video. It's Lady Gaga like in a bathtub and at a strip club with no pants on. But I, there's this one is nowhere to be found either, and this the this trailer was published in November 2012, so. who knows what up with Gaga and Terry Richardson, but I have a feeling neither of these videos are ever going to come out any more than they are right now, in it, which is 45 seconds of total video for two database entries. So anyway, yeah, I really would like to see the rest of this video, but it's not playing. Thanks South Florida internet.
That's a TMZ player, I think. Well, at least we have we got two good videos from this album. We got Applause by Nez Van Lamsverd and Vinod Matadin. I completely mangled their name. And then Lady Gaga herself directed the video for a guy, GUY, which I thought was a great video.
Better than R. Kelly reaching under a sheet.
Yeah, R. Kelly's got a surgical mask with like diamonds on it. It's stupid. Anyway, so we should talk a little bit about the videos of the week, because there were some interesting ones, some banana pants ones.
Yes.
And
let's start with the banana pantsiest of them all, which is 1 Minute More by Capital Cities, directed by Brewer. This is pretty banana pants.
This is, we were talking about, and Jeff, I'd like to get your opinion on this from a visual effects perspective, because this is one of those videos, I think, out of all of them, was probably the most like visual effects, computer-generated visual effects heavy. And I'll just summarize the video as this. Woman getting a divorce that's made very clear. And there are people on like a party boat. It looks like a beer or ice cream commercial.
And, or a music video, just like a party.
Or just a music video. And they're like on a pontoon boat. It looks like a sunscreen commercial. And it is made very clear that they are floating and having a party in the tears of this woman who is.
Yeah, they're not her size. They're very tiny.
Yeah, we should, yeah, they're not her size. People. Correct.
Like their whole world is her tears.
Yeah, I thought it was like really cool. I mean, that aspect of it, kind of the metaphor of that. Like I don't know. I mean, I thought it was really fun. Like I mean. It's just kind of crazy. It's like all over the place. Like all these shots of them, like, you know, on wave runners and jet skis. Like it just, and then like, yeah, there's all these kind of like green screen visual effects shots of them, like literally like in the bathtub with her and like, you know, on her like body and, you know, just jet skiing on her tears and stuff like that. I mean, I thought just like that kind of, that concept alone is just really cool, like as far as like a metaphor, but I don't know, it was just like really fun. Like it wasn't too like deep or anything. I mean, it was just I don't know, I love this album. Like I've been listening to this record, but I think it's I don't know, I thought it was cool.
It's super dark, and Capital Cities have made all of the videos from this album have been fantastic. Capital Cities and they're, you know, they're a pop band. You know, their music is pretty, you know, radio friendly, but these dudes, you could tell, are, you know, they've got a good sense of humor. The one dude's got like a giant beard, which automatically means you have a good sense of humor. But it is super dark, and it's just funny that they have like these, you know, a lot of times they're like classic music video elements of like the band performing with like a bunch of like attractive people around them in the sun, and like everyone's having lots of fun, and it's just so funny that like all of this fun exists on the tears of a woman going through a divorce, like a incredibly heartbreaking thing, and it's just like a Fanta commercial going on.
That's the type of commercial.
The loose idea of the video is kind of that like sadness and happiness sort of need to coexist. I guess that's kind of what's going on here, right? Because when she gets happy at the end, then the boat party stops. So that's kind of...
I guess I didn't look at it. I didn't keep going
Hold on. This is a super important video to keep going on.
I watched the whole video. I meant I didn't keep going deeper in in my psyche of what the meaning of this video is. I watched the whole video.
It's there. Watch the end. She meets a new guy, and then she's happy, and then everyone dries up and dies in the boat party.
Well, not only do they don't just pack up and go home, they like are dying by the end.
Oh yeah, there's like a dry skeleton corpse on the desert. Right. Yeah.
Now, what I took it to mean a little bit was that, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really listen to the lyrics of the song too much. Maybe they kind of connected a little bit, but the idea is that maybe she likes to listen to music when she they're like there for sadness times or whatever, or that kind of that, or I don't know. Wait, hold on, I'm gonna cut this out. This doesn't make any sense at all. It made sense in my head, and then once I started saying it, it made no sense.
There's actually a little quote right at the beginning too that kind of summarizes, I think, what the video is about.
Yeah, could you?
Joy and sorrow are inseparable. Together they come, and one sits alone with you. Remember that the other is asleep upon your bed. So they kind of coexist. Is kind of how I took that. It's cool. I like it, and it's super funny.
And
yeah,
go ahead.
The end shot with the lemonade is just hilarious.
Yeah, look, the because then it zooms in on her skin and she's like,
yeah,
and they're dying. I'm trying to look up the guy who that quote is from, Khalil Gibran, and he is a Lebanese artist, poet, and writer. And he was born in 1883, died in 1931. So he is an old school cool guy.
Throwback man. I love when you know, like I mentioned, the Capital Cities is very radio friendly, and this is a type of like song that lots of people will know about. And so I love when a band with a big audience is willing to make a video like this that is pretty insane. It reminds me a little bit of. Turn Down for What, directed by Daniels, a music video that you're like forcing a broader audience to watch this type of music video. So I can get behind that. It's a weird thing.
And speaking of radio friendly, Capital Cities actually used to do radio jingles. That's actually how they started out.
How about that?
They did little commercials.
Huh.
That's weird that you knew that.
I just knew that little fact for you.
It's not weird that it's true. It's weird that you knew it.
No,
I know things about these guys.
We shouldn't be anti Adam facts, Doug.
I'm not anti Adam facts. It's just weird. It's a weird fact that I don't know.
I think it's a cool fact.
I'm gonna break this up and move on to another video.
Let's do another one.
Do you want to? Okay, go.
Yeah. So yeah, I do.
This is. I'm actually putting together a talk right now that I'm going to be presenting at Sprockets in Athens, Georgia, home of Kishibashi, in July, that is sort of going through the music videos in the digital modern age. So roughly, if we're going back way back, 1998 to the present day. And one of the bands that factors pretty big into that is OK Go. Or not big, but they definitely have a spot in there. For their, you know, stupid term, but quote-unquote viral videos, like Here It Goes Again, This Too Shall Pass.
I mean, they helped invent that shit, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And also, they haven't, or I haven't really seen too much from them. They did the commercial for the Super Bowl with the car that drives, and I think it got a little too out of control at one point. And I thought they had kind of, like, packed that up. And then here we go, The Writing's on the Wall, which is another one of these really like almost 5 minute long epic kind of visual. I mean, this one's insane. It's unbelievable that plays with perspective.
They hadn't really done one that really blew me, because they've done like a handful that like are really kind of mind-blowing music videos, but they hadn't really done one that was like really mind-blowing since This Too Shall Pass. I think the Rube Goldberg Machine, which we had the some people from SynLab on this very podcast talking about that video. I don't think they really blew anybody's mind so much since that one, but I think this one definitely does. This one fucked with my brain a lot. I had trouble with this. It was like I like questioned reality a lot during this video, and like my own personal reality.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I mean, like they always do. Amazing. I mean, you kind of expect that like from them, because they're known for that, and it's like it's just Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's super fun. Like, it's not trying to kind of be anything more than, like, what it is. And, like, they achieve these, like, fantastical things that, like, you know, I mean, like, I mean, you see at the end, like, the crew that they have and that comes out from the woodwork, so to speak. And, like, I mean, it's amazing that, like, someone is doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like,
how elaborate the planning would have had to have been for this one, as well as all their other videos. But that was, like, I was just blown away by this, too.
It's great. the crew reveal is something that's that it all also takes place in this Two Shall Pass. But just to talk a little bit about the video, what's going on is they're going through kind of this one take in this like studio setting of these crazy like what is like forced perspective or what is the effect, the brain fuck effect that they're doing here, Adam?
I would call this forced perspective in various ways or in various different techniques. Not just forced perspective, but there's a, I don't know what the technique is called, when you change perspectives and suddenly things that look like they were not connected in any way form an image.
An illusion.
Illusion. It's basically like sleight of hand illusion stuff. And Doug, I was wondering, is this the same warehouse studio that they did this Two Shall Pass? And I'm almost positive that it is.
It looks like it maybe it is. It looks like it is. And it's very similar. It's hard to tell, obviously, because the stuff in there is different. But it was also like a two-story big open warehouse space. So possibly, yes. But I don't know for sure. I didn't do any research.
And I really like this track. I don't know about you guys, but I've always thought that that the tracks have sometimes not entirely lived up to the kind of epicness of their videos. But I thought this is one of their strongest. So I'm glad to see that a really strong video / track pairing from them.
I can honestly tell you, I don't know, outside of Here It Goes Again, I cannot tell you how any OK Go song goes, even this one. I cannot remember it all. And that's the, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad song. It probably is pretty good, but I personally don't remember it.
I think what's cool about, like, their videos is, I mean, the music is, like, pop and super fun, and the videos are, like, so fun to watch. Like, I mean, you don't really have to kind of invest a lot in it. I mean, they're just so like incredible that it's you know, it's just a lot of fun to see what they've put together and what's going on in the video. That I think it's like merges well with the fun of the music.
And it's awesome to see a band this passionate about the music video format too. Like, they clearly love music videos and they take it very seriously. It's not like they don't just do this to promote their music. They're doing it for that as well, but they love doing these videos. It's just so clear.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't have spent whatever the ungodly amount of time. I remember when Hector Alvarez, and I can't remember who else was on from Sin Labs, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's actually our second podcast ever, around a little more than 2 years ago. They talked about just the how it is to work with OK Go and how dedicated they are to getting every little piece right. And you can see you can see this in there. This was a real. It was interesting they added the camera handling noises to this one. I don't know if you guys noticed that they're every time somebody takes a camera, there's like the little, you know, like, here, I'll do it with my microphone.
What kind of camera is used in this video? I know nothing about that, but I wonder.
It looks like a DSLR with some kind of crazy circle rig, circle jib, or circle steady cam.
You see it in the mirror at one point.
Yeah, and it was Hector Alvarez and Dan Busby. It's actually our third episode. Second was Mr. Matt Wells.
Yeah, we're gonna delete that one. Sorry, Matt. So we should talk another one that really blew me away visually this week was the, and I can't pronounce it, but the Stromae Tefet. And this Stromae is an artist that has just consistently blown us away.
Different directors. This is another artist, not quite the same type of music videos OK Go, but another artist who clearly you know, puts a lot of stock in the music videos that they do. And a lot of collaborations with Caviar, but lots of different directors and lots of different styles of video. And this is and a lot of them are really massive music videos as well. And this one is no different.
This one has a kind of a Hunger Games feel to it, which is
funny. With some soccer elements.
With some soccer elements. Everybody's watching this thing, and one guy gets pulled out, put into a ball, and rolled out on the field, and he's put into some sort of crazy maze that he kind of has to, you know, fight his way out of. And I won't give away the little twist ending at the end. But there's a lot of action. There's a lot of this music video is made on the scale of a feature film. It looks like not made in terms of financial resources, but made to look like that. And I think they really pull it off. And the Stromae, the singer, is who appears, I think, in almost all of his music videos, is kind of like this kind of ringleader, which was neat that they gave him that role as well. But it's a really visually stunning music video.
Yeah, I absolutely love this video. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, just the way it's shot. Yeah, it definitely looks like a feature film. I mean, the sets, like the video, the visual effects are incredible. And I mean, I think just like conceptually, like it's so perfect for the song. Like the, you know, especially with the lyrics, and even like the song itself. Like it sounds like. It sounds like a song that would be like written for, you know, a soccer game, or like, you know, like World Cup or something like that. It has that kind of like anthem, like anthematic kind of sports arena type of sounds. And the fact that, like, you know, they chose this kind of like Hunger Games, like type of Running Man type of like plot kind of thing for it. I mean, it's so perfect. I don't know. It's, yeah, this was like, I think conceptually too, like, I mean, it just this kind of like dystopian society where you have like, you know, this kind of class that's like being entertained by competition and, you know, struggle. And I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty amazing video.
It's a well-timed too.
Yeah.
With World Cup soccer. And you're right. It could be one of those. Actually, when I first opened it up to watch it, I thought it was one of those like Pepsi, because I saw the soccer field and Pepsi's doing all of these World Cup soccer themed music videos right now from their.
You're
Pepsi.
Like, oh no, not another shitty.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so fuck, this is another fucking Spike Jonze soccer Pepsi video. Spike Lee, sorry, not Spike Jonze. Spike Jonze, if you're listening, please come on the podcast.
I said, or just return my pages, because I page Spike Jonze all the time.
That's right. Well, you should, I don't know, if you know anybody, you should ask them if he actually still uses his pager.
I mean, he said he did.
And this one did
Jeopardy tonight anyway.
And Adam, how do you say this title, this song title?
You got it pretty close. It's Ta Fête. Mm-hmm. You pretty much got it.
And for a, you know, we
which
have
which means your birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. And this is listed in a French pop, and for a French pop song, it's doing really well in the view count. It's up to 1 million-ish. So
that Stromae is a pretty big artist.
And yeah, I think that's
that cool. Video. What about some other ones? Can we talk about the return of Destiny's Child?
Very quickly.
Yes, briefly. That's all I wanted to do. Destiny's Child is back, y'all. Michelle Williams put out a music video this week called "Say Yes," and it features Beyonce and Kelly Rowland. Can you guys tell I'm excited about this? Now,
I know you were excited about this when it came out.
Can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that technically this is the return of one version of Destiny's Child, first of all, because Michelle Williams has not always been in Destiny's Child. But Michelle Williams and Kelly Rowland are also in the Superpower music video from Beyonce's album, but that didn't come out on the internet yet, so I don't count it. This is the official return of Destiny's Child, and that's all I gotta say about this video because it's not very good. But but they're back, and it's funny because Michelle Williams, obviously, she hasn't put out a music video in several years, and then early last month put out a music video called Fire, with which only has like 40 less than 50,000 views, and this one's already over a million. So she got that Beyonce juice and maybe a little Kelly Rowland juice too. But well, yeah, they're just in a backyard talking about Jesus. I'm not really excited about this, you know that, but
this. But, you know. Well, when I first loaded this up, I was like, you know, everybody shits on Michelle Williams. And remember when Beyonce performed at the Super Bowl, everybody gave Michelle Williams shit, even though she was – everything went fine and, you know, she was
– Nothing went wrong, right.
Nothing went wrong. And I just – and, you know, as I was hitting play, I was like, you know what? Michelle Williams – this is her track and Beyonce and Kelly Rowland are featuring on it. Let's see what happens. And it is, first of all, it's a Christian song about Jesus, and I don't want to equate Christianity with Scientology, but this feels like kind of like a Battlefield Earth kind of deal, where it's like
it is pretty heavy-handed, although it's just like pretty ladies smiling and singing. It's like if you say no and Jesus says yes, you fucking can't say no. You can't say no is what this song is about, and so.
But it has that feel of like, okay, like we are, you know, Beyonce especially, and the other two to a lesser extent are successful at, you know, being entertainers. Now we're gonna do a thing where it's still gonna be popular because we're famous, but we're gonna do our, you know, Beyonce is gonna put on some crazy white robe and dance around in a backyard about Jesus. It's the same thing with like, you know. I'm John Travolta, and you know me. I'm famous, and now I'm gonna make a movie about Scientology. So anyway, it just had that kind of feel for me.
but fucking Destiny's Child is back, y'all.
I didn't know you were such a big Destiny's Child fan.
I'm not at all. It was just funny to see. I'm doing an impression of every website. On June 18th was just super exciting. Like, never in a million years is Pitchfork gonna write about a Michelle Williams video unless Beyonce's in it. And even for a while, it was just Beyonce in the screenshot. Now it's all three of them. But for a while, it was just Beyonce in a backyard singing about Jesus. So that was that. That's that video. Adam, I feel like I'm going to start getting into some of the videos that I liked this week and you didn't. I want to start with Home by Naughty Boy. Is that one you didn't like?
No, actually, this one, my dog was hit by a car yesterday and survived.
Holy shit.
And survived. But this kind of hit me in the feels. I don't know. This was a good – I like this video a lot.
Because it's about a dog.
I didn't mean to. Yeah, it's about a dog. It's from the perspective of a dog.
POV dog.
And I didn't mean to drop. I just popped into my mind. But I was wondering why I liked this video so much. But I like this a lot. This is directed by Ian Ponsjewel, who's one of my favorite directors.
Who dropped two videos this week?
That's right. Did anybody have the same affection for dog POVs that I do?
I thought it was like a cool idea. I don't know. Just a cool idea just to do that. Just to, I mean, let's do a video that's a POV of a dog. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really seen a lot of stuff like that, so I thought it was cool.
Can anybody name any other music videos that are POVs from household pets? I'm waiting. Bare Naked Ladies, it's all been done before.
Oh,
1999.
Shit.
I've POV from a house cat.
Just how about that? So this video is interesting, though. It's not just POV for a dog, and you obviously don't get that right away. It just looks like somebody on set, but then you realize they're lower than everybody, and then you kind of get the idea that it's a dog. But then there's a further reveal down the line, which actually caught me off guard a little bit. I didn't really expect that final ending, and it changed my perspective on the world. How about that? What happens in this video is there's like a dog who starts out on a set of like some kind of dog food commercial or something. It's like a model dog, you know, classic model dog story. And the dog runs away, and at the end of the video reunites with its original owner, who is a homeless man living in an alleyway. And I used to get super upset up until prior to this video. I'd get upset if I saw a homeless man with a dog. I feel like it's, you know, what kind of care could that man be giving, that homeless man be giving that dog? But now I think every homeless man loves his dog as much as the homeless man in this video. And basically what that proves is I have poor perspective on things. I let weird things in my mind. But that's what happens. He seems a homeless man, and the homeless man, for whatever reason, has a bunch of pictures of him with the dog around and nothing else. But yeah, there it goes. Reunited with the family. I like his man, his homeless man owner. It was sweet. I wish the dog would have brought some money with him, though. I mean, he's a famous dog. He could have brought some money or at least some crafty and brought it to his homeless man. Do you not like the Arctic Monkeys video from this week, Adam?
Well, what? Just one thing. To mention
Alexander,
hit me. The other video that Ian Ponsjewel directed this week was Cold Specs' video for Absisto, which I thought was awesome. I actually preferred it a little bit over Home, though. Home was super cute, too.
Ooh, shit. He preferred
it. So I thought I'd mention it. We mentioned there was a second, and that was the one.
That was it. And now everyone's going to watch that because everyone values Adam Alexander's opinion much more to mine. Fairholme, Arctic Monkeys, not your bag of snap out of it?
Wasn't my bag of snap out of it, no. I don't know. Explain to me the plot of this video.
There's a beautiful lady who clearly had some kind of relationship with the members of Arctic Monkey, and she's watching old like band footage of them and reacting to it. She's getting hot and bothered, reliving those moments, watching that old footage.
So the thing that I find strange about this video is that she's getting hot and bothered watching like studio outtakes. It's just like it's not like them performing or like anything else. It's like the
super weird.
I know.
Yeah.
Part.
Yeah. Did you find this video a little odd as well?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's so weird. I mean, like, because you know, in the beginning, there's like all these like body shots, like ass shots, and then like she's watching this like really weird, like low grade, like footage, like home movie footage of these dudes like in the studio, and then like she goes and like puts a steak on, like just I don't know. I mean, I thought it was going somewhere, and I was like along for the ride, but I don't know. I just kind of like I don't know.
It was well put together. The shots are well done. Her performance is really good. Like you guys, I was just kind of like conceptually, I didn't feel that it was very strong or even didn't make sense in a fun way. It kind of just didn't make sense to me.
But like, even people who are like super, super fans, do they watch like VHS quality studio outtakes?
I mean, I think if you're
like a crazy, fan,
but hold on,
like a stalker,
she's in the footage.
Yeah,
is she?
Yeah, she's in that footage. She's not just watching studio footage. She's watching studio footage that she's in.
See, I thought she imagined
she's like remembering. She's remembering, so she's a super fan who has an actual relationship with this band, with the members of the band, and it's studio footage because that's some of the only time that a band is like being themselves, and that you could show her kind of with them still in a band environment. I mean, anything more personal and you almost don't, it's almost not a band anymore. It's just like bros. And then anything more bandy, if she's like watching, she's like at some concert, like why is she being filmed? Like, you know, behind the scenes studio footage, although not like necessarily salacious, it's still something that you conceivably they would be filming. She could have this footage. I think it makes sense to me that it's that. And,
see, I thought the steak, she ate the steak and it transported her into.
Okay, so this I got nothing for you for the steak. Okay, guys, what I can do, and we've talked about this before, is I have a whole list of focus creep music videos that are fantastic and can be explained. And so at a point like when it's working for you, and then some stuff I can't wrap my head around. Like, I obviously don't think like focus creeps are just like didn't know what to do. So it's like, oh, we got that steak footage. Let's just throw that in there for these gaps. Like, I'm sure it's got something. I'm sure it's there. And so I'm able to look past that.
We need a commentary. That's what we need on this one.
I love it. I'd love to get I should hit up Focus Creeps and be like, yo, talk about this.
We dumped on your video in the podcast.
No, not, I didn't. No, not me. I didn't.
I really like that, though. Like, I mean, I really like the fact that, I mean, you know, it's – I really like stuff that's not so easily explained. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. There's something I don't know. I always gravitate towards the stuff that is not kind of concise and like wrapped up at the end and like and very linear. Like I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it's just weird. Maybe it's just weird for the sake of being weird. But like with this video, but like I don't know. I mean, I think I appreciate its weirdness.
I do feel like Doug makes a good point, it being Focus Creeps. There probably is something here that I'm missing. He's probably have a good point.
Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's like the Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing. But the things that didn't make sense to me, I'm blaming myself. So yeah, I think we got time. There's just one more video that I gave on the list, because we're not going to talk about that FKA Twigs video, even though I love it. Because
it's my favorite, for the record.
It's not on YouTube yet.
It's
so
not on YouTube.
They don't get to or Vimeo, so they don't get airtime. But Lana Del Rey gets some airtime with her music video for "Shades of Cool," directed by Jake Nava. Adam Alexander called this video "Too Lana Del Rey" this week. It's to me. He said, "This is too Lana Del Rey for me." Adam, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is that, I mean, it's an awesome video. It's like super beautiful and really well shot, and Lana Del Rey is always awesome to look at. But I think I wanted something a little bit more different from that would really stand out from the rest of her body of videos. And this one was basically her looking beautiful on like a beach. Well, not a beach, but it's like, you know, places that I don't know much about. Cool Florida places. It's a city.
California.
Type of,
yeah,
sure.
That's not Florida.
But yeah, and her and an old dude that she is in love with. And,
is that
and
the same guy, Adam Fairholme, from the West Coast video?
That is the same guy. That is Mark Mahoney, the famous tattoo artist.
Boom, bam, there he is. Looking
from the West Coast video, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just looking for I really found that Born to Die really stood out as something different, and I don't feel that she's done another video that was up to par with that for me yet. As much as I love her music and her stuff, so yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same way. I thought it was beautiful, you know, like really well shot, like really cool editing, really cool, like, you know, color correction and all that, but yeah, it's just kind of like her looking good and just kind of like vignettes of just different little I mean, it's more, I think this video is more like photography than like kind of plot or narrative or anything like that, but
yeah, I think it's meant to give like a sense of like place, or maybe just like some sort of like, yeah, like more like photography. I definitely agree with that. That's a great way of putting it. I like the hologram kind of effect as well.
Yeah, I like that too. I like the look of that as well. Lana Del Rey's got, you know, she's got, you know, if this video came out for some like random artist I'd never heard of, I'd be like, oh shit, look at this. But like, yeah, she's Lana Del Rey, you know, part of it is like comparing it to herself. And so she has done some really great music videos that, and her style is really established. So, and this kind of carries on with that, but you know, yeah, we've gotten, you know, 15 music videos that carry on those styles, and so, you know, it's definitely not new to us.
I just have two quick notes on this video. So one of them, her new album, Ultraviolence, one interesting factoid from that is it produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys.
That's true.
And the other thing is that she has another song that I'm sure is going to be getting a video soon called Brooklyn Baby, where she mentions Lou Reed. And Lou Reed was scheduled to sing on that song the day that he died.
Oh, wow.
But so I just think that I like this video a lot. I have been listening to the new album a lot, and I think it's great, with you know, a few exceptions here or there. But I feel like if you look at her top videos right now, we don't have anything from her new album. We've got her cover of Chelsea Hotel Number 2 still coming in over anything over from this new album. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle. I feel like the West Coast video is going to have a little bit of resurgence. I keep watching that video over and over again. I think it's kind of an underrated video. And
underrated on our website as well. It has 3 user ratings and it's an averaging of 3.
Yeah, I just feel like it's I don't know, I feel like that track's kind of the standout from the album, and I keep watching and I just love that video so much.
Yeah, it's really good.
Directed by Vincent Haycock. It's sitting at 8 million, and you know, if we're looking at Lana Del Rey's number 1, which was Summertime Sadness from 2012, we're looking at 183 million. So
damn, what a disparity. Yeah, she's got some catch up to do. That Summertime Sadness song though, that had like a double dip because of that remix version as well, which also has a very popular music video sitting at almost 50 million. Cedric Gravis remix.
That's right. And that's the song mentioned in the Selfie video, which is currently is like the number 3 video of 2014 so far. So
that's true.
There we go. We're just dropping facts like crazy.
Dropping facts like Adam Mad Dog. That's it. Should we go around? We talked about a lot of videos, but what we can tick real quick. What was everyone's favorite music video of the week, starting with Adam Fairholme?
Why am I always first? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. Adam Alexander.
Well, okay, so the
you can say FKA Twigs.
Yeah, I'm allowed. Yes. So yeah, FKA Twigs is probably as of yet my favorite. Like we said, not on YouTube yet. Cool, kind of just a really awesome dance performance video with FKA Twigs herself and another dude who's a good dancer too. And yeah, so that one's probably my favorite for sure. And
kills it in that video, man. Oh man.
Yeah, she does, for sure. Yeah, really good. But to mention another one that we didn't talk about that I just watched, not my favorite of the week, but worth mentioning, this really beautiful 100 Waters video for Out Ali. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but directed by Alex Warren. And I'm not familiar with the U.S. geography or what places might look like, but the video claims that it's in it's shot in Arizona somewhere. It doesn't look like anything that would actually be shot there. Maybe it's like a future vision of this Arizona city, but the city of Arco Santi is what it's called. And yeah, it's basically just a video of the landscape there, and it looks really cool, like a cool color palette, violets and different springtime kind of colors, and then the band kind of performing throughout. And yeah, definitely cool, worth checking out.
Jeff, do you have a favorite video of the week? It could be one of the ones we've talked about already.
Yeah, I think the Tuffette video was definitely a favorite. Just amazing. Yeah, but I thought it was just so perfect. You know, the execution, the concept for the song. I just thought it was such a perfect marriage of visual and plot and narrative and with the sounds. Yep.
Excellent choice. That's a fantastic video.
Yeah.
I'll do mine, Doug, so you can go last.
Okay,
I'll
cool.
Go last.
I love it.
I'm gonna say the OK Go, the writings on the wall. I'm usually super cynical about stuff like this, especially OK Go videos. But this one won me over within like 30 seconds. I just thought this was, you know, something that I think 2 years ago people probably thought like, and I definitely thought that they were burnt out on stuff like this, and they did something that I didn't expect them to do, which is revive this style and make it exciting again. So I that's my favorite of the week.
Super cool choice. My favorite of the week, 1 minute more, Capital Cities, directed by Brewer. But I will tell people to go watch Mecca by Wild Beast, directed by Kate Morose, and also Adam Alexander. What is it? Astora Habitat? How do you say that?
wow, yeah, that's hard. You got me on that one.
Astora, Astra, A-U-S-T-R-A.
Astra. Yeah, okay. Your pronunciation threw me there. It's Astra.
Well, that's what I was asking for help with. Astra Habitat, directed by Matt Lambert. Also really good video, super weird, which is fun. So watch it.
Well, there we go. This has been another edition of course, our sweet podcast. If you want to find so many more podcasts, if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh my God, I'm going on a road trip for 40 hours, I need a lot of content, then all you have to do is go to imvdb.com/podcast, and we've got all sorts of podcasts featuring everybody you could imagine, from if you can imagine on one end of the spectrum, Ellis Ball, and on the other end of the spectrum, Timothy Cinti. We have everybody in between.
Why are those the two sides?
I don't know. This is the first thing I saw on the list.
What spectrum is that? Where those are the two?
And if you want to watch any of the videos we talked about, or check out any of the links we did, this is episode 112, so you can find all that in there, including links to all the videos we talked about, including a link to Jeff's page on IMVDB, which has all the videos that we talked about of his as well. And thank you very much, Jeff, for joining us on the podcast. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Likewise, thank you very much for having me. It was awesome.
And actually, since you just had one video that came out this week, I wanted to ask, do you have anything else in the pipeline for people to watch out with in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'm actually working on something right now that's going to be coming out next week. And it's I'm really excited about.
Nice. Right.
Yep.
So we'll watch out for that, and yep. We'll see you guys next week.